We'll keep on going like that. That's what it means. But that's referring to the klal. That's a specialized bracha to the klal. That's not the same thing, the brachas in the Torah, not the same thing as the as what is referring to over here. It's a different thing. Okay. See, it doesn't mean, see, it's a question. It doesn't mean to say there's no Sfar Onesh at all. There's no Sfar Onesh anymore. There's no Hashgacha Pratis with regard to our lives. I mean, that's impossible. That's clear to say that. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done every person, and he gets his reward in this world also, not just in the next world. Otherwise, it would be no Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So what's the pshat? No, it doesn't mean that there's Hashgacha. But it means to say, precisely the way I said it before, that God's Hashgacha with regard to Yechidim we don't know. But you should remove from your mind the idea that there's anything that will give you, there's no guarantor of a physical well-being. Hashgacha, yeah, Hashgacha is according to...
We don't know the system of Sfar Onesh.
It's more than that. It's more than that. You see, because they say like this. You see, they don't just say the Yom Rafon. They say this: Leman Yitav Loch Varachta Yomer LaOlam Shekula Orach. So they say there is really Leman Yitav Loch. They're not saying you don't Rafon. See, there is really, but Leman Yitav Loch LaOlam Shekula Orach. What it means is that the real benefit of mitzvahs is in a different dimension than we imagine the benefit is. That's what it means. Different dimension than we imagine the benefit is. See? That's what it means. The man yidrach means the old shkul aruch means that in other words, we are not in tune with the real good. We are not in tune with the real good. There is a real good, and that good definitely is received by everybody who keeps the mitzvahs. But that good is not to be mistaken with the good that we have, that we consider the good in this world. Okay, so therefore there is nothing in Asiyas and Mitzvahs that will guarantee a person a better life over here. A better life over here. That's what it means. Okay. I mean, all these things that people do, right, with the mezuzahs and with Kriyas Shema Lamita, because of the mazikin, is all because they don't have the proper concept of this chazal. See? You know what the Meiri says? Why do you say Krishma Alamita? He says, because of the Mazikin. You know what the Meiri says? He says, what are the Mazikin? Deos and the Shapshas. False ideas. Those are the Mazikin.
Meiri says that
way. Says in Brachas. I'm going to come on. So the same thing with Mezuzah. You know the Rambam Mezuzah. The person that thinks the Mezuzah has magical powers, is over the Vatazara, the whole thing. Okay. Yeah. People are motivated by this to a very great degree. Because the greatest, most powerful motivation in man is motivating factor in man is his insecurity. It's physical insecurity. What does Shlomo HaMelech say? Kadogim Hanitfasim B'Metzuda Sheyovo Aleim Areshes Pison. That the people are like fish in a brook, and suddenly the net comes down and sweeps them up. A person doesn't know, it's tremendous insecurity, and that motivates him to do a lot of things. But in the Torah Shebaal Peh, at least in Torah Shebaal Peh, when a person reaches a higher level, then Torah Shebaal Peh doesn't let him fool himself with that motivation. Doesn't let him fool himself with that motivation. That shouldn't be the real motivation. Yes. Rebbe Laban, he said like this. He said it has nothing to do with the with this type of idea of a magical performance. That if you eat something sweet, you're going to have a good year. Does that make any sense? A person's in Russia and he sits down and eats some honey, and this guy's going to get a good year, and the other guy who ate horseradish and salad is going to get. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, this is the height of nonsense. But the whole idea, the whole idea is Simna Milsa. It's a Gemara. It's based on a Gemara in Croesus. Simna Milsa. And the idea of sitting in Milsa is to do certain performances that remind the person of the Kedushas Hayom. That's the idea. That's why a person, that's why you do it. It's not because of, it's not a causative agent. I'm not going to, help a person get a magic. I'll show you a simple cheshbon. I can't be that way. Because the truth of the matter is that if a person deserves an onesh, is it smart for him to avoid the onesh or not? Either, no. It'd be like a person is sick and he's in operation. He's going to have a tremendous gain. He'll fool the doctor. He won't go for the operation. Right? So that's the same thing over here. If a person, an onesh, God doesn't do anything bad. It means that a Kadosh Baruch gives a person an onesh. It's to help him out. It's for his benefit, not to harm him. You know, Kadosh Baruch makes a creature and then he hurts him. Doesn't make any sense. This is Hashem Hashem Karachem Lachanim. Ridiculous. So if a person deserves an onesh, and if he should be able to avoid the onesh somehow, he would bring himself the worst harm, right? So if you're going to tell me that by eating honey on Rosh Hashanah you're going to avoid a bad year, and you really deserve the bad year, then it's not a wise thing to do, because you're going to make it worse for yourself.
After we talked about the case with David, when he was about to die, he knew he was going to die, so he was like learning,
right,
all the time so that he could avoid it. How does that?
That Chazal, the Gemara Bar Madlikin.
Yeah.
The Rambam indirectly explains that Chazal, because the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim. So the Rambam says that a person, the higher a person is, you see, we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Ratzelam Alekim. That's the way we relate to. That's the way we relate to God, Ratzelam Alekim. But what is Ratzelam Alekim? So the Rishonim say, that the Ratzelam Alekim is the part of man which is the sichli, through which he understands things. That's what the Rishonim explained. So it's not a matter of philosophy, that's the pshat. So animals are limited by their instinctive nature, but they could never see that which is really, what's really behind everything. They're just limited to instinct. See, but man is the only creature that can see reality, has an insight into reality through his mind. That's the Tzelem Elokim. So your question was with regard to
David
HaMelech. Yeah. So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that since that's the case, so the only way we relate to God is through knowledge, through chachma, through Tzelem Elokim. So the hashgochas Hashem means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to man, he relates to him insofar as he is man. In other words, insofar as he perceives chachmas Hashem. Right? So therefore, he says, even a great Navi, the Rambam says, at times when he's not involved in Chachma, he really isn't relating to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he says the Hashgacha could fail him at those times. So he says, unless a person's like the level of the others. The others, even their necessities, their needs, physical needs, they were on such a level that everything that they had to do with it was a direct reflection on their the perfection of their state, their ruchnius, the state of their spiritual state. So therefore, by them, even their necessities were under the hashgacha. But other people, even great people, he says, if they're not involved in chachmas Hashem, they're not really involved, then the hashgacha ceases. That's what he says. So the Gemara in Bar Madlikin that talks about David HaMelech, that's the idea the Gemara is trying to convey. That's what it means. It means when he was involved in Chachma, that's the David HaMelech, when he was involved in Chachma, he was under the Hashgacha. It doesn't mean that if a person can avoid death by sitting and learning, that's a mistake. And that's what they teach the children, this idea. And everybody, you know, every kid thinks, I have to remember that when I get older, and I'll make sure I'll learn it all the time. So far, nobody has been able to do that. But the experiment is very unsuccessful. Now, it doesn't mean that's a childish way of understanding the Chazal. Chazal are trying to give you an idea. The idea is that the Hashgachas Hashem relates to a person when he's involved in Chachmas HaTorah. As long as David HaMelech was involved in Chachmas HaTorah, that's what it means that the Satan couldn't get him. It means that when he was involved in Chachmas HaTorah, He was directly under the Ashkenazi. Yes.
I want you to finish. I want to finish this point.
There's, yeah, the question was raised that there was. You see, the thing is like this: there are situations, and there are even Gemaras that seem strange because they do mention some of these things. And the Meiri talks about it. The Meiri talks about it in the Gemara in Pesachim, where it says you're not supposed to drink zugos. How could the Chachamim be misakin arbakosis? You're not supposed to drink zugos. They what it means is if you drink pears, then you'll get sick and you'll die. Azikin, yeah. Then you have there's a halacha that an isha, if a woman's two husbands, a woman had two husbands in succession, they died. So then she's not supposed to get married.
What are the
famous halacha. So the why? Because the third one's if each kablon, the third one's number is up. It's not a Gemara says it. So the what is this? What is this? So the Meiri, there's a Meiri on this, there's a Rambam on this. The Rambam, they both say the same thing basically. The Rambam was that I don't understand that gets me question from there to here. Because he says, this halacha of the Isha Katlonis, he says, is not really a halacha. It's just because people believe that way, that Chazal recommended against it. Because since people by nature, most people by nature, do have these type of feelings, and otherwise we wouldn't have any movies and television, right? So people have this type of beliefs. So therefore, Chazal said a person shouldn't marry a woman like that, because since he's going to feel very psychologically, he's going to feel that he's in a dangerous position, you know, because of precedent. So if he's a weak person physically, it can kill him. You think it's a joke? It's not a joke. As a matter of fact, there's documented evidence that healthy people in Africa, with these different primitive tribes where they practice these things, that there are cases that were observed. If you ever see this, there was a Chuvasari, there's a Chuvasari Vash. Rivash is a Talmud of the Rush. And they asked him a question whether you're allowed to learn philosophy. So he said, one of the things that he said in his tshuva, you know, it was a big argument. One of the things he said in his tshuva was that you see that people that study philosophy, immediately they stop davening. Seems that in this time, a lot of people have studied philosophy and they stopped tefillah. See, but why is it so? What's the phenomena? The answer is because they didn't take the advice of this Mishnah. See? Because suddenly they recognize what God is. Before they had an immature idea of God. Then they recognize the God as the Borei Olam. Who are you to stand in front of the Borei Olam? It's absurd, it's ridiculous, right? So therefore they simply couldn't daven anymore. But that is wrong. That's what this mission is telling you. This mission is telling you, Histakel b'shlosh advarim, that a person must act within his framework. How his framework is, that's the way he must act. Even though he knows the reality is not so. He knows God is not a nose in the Shamas, Ayin Roah, but it is rational that he should act towards the deity in a way that he would act towards, at least towards somebody that's important, that he respects. See, that's his framework. He has to at least act that way. The idea is not false. The idea is true. Because truth of the matter is that there ain't shechol lefnei chisei chodecha. And there is, and God, everything, it's not v'chol ma'asecha ba'seif and echtavim, it's not translated into those terms. The terms you're translating it into is not so. But the reality is so. Yeah, if it was false, you can't do it. But it means to say that the person has to relate to the phenomena in some way. So he has to, not that he should, that's why he says chas v'sholom, they should think that way. That's avodah zarah. If anyone thinks that way about God, it's pure avodah zarah. The worst thing is better off not davening. But what he should do is say to himself, what would my reaction be if a melech, if I knew that somebody was writing down my actions in a book, what would my reaction be?
So with regard to God, I certainly have to be concerned about my actions. That's what it means. But he should never make the mistake of thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way. That would be a lot of the way. See, that's really the head to fall at Phyllis. Ancient of Atazocha, all the terms we use. I mean, the Rambam and the Mora points out many times that all the terms we use in relationship to God are really inapplicable. What's important about this memra is this memra answers how a person should act in view of the fact that he's faced with a conflict. Because philosophically he recognizes that you can't speak about God in any of these things, yet he has to relate to him some way. See? So how does he do it? How is it possible? So the answer is that he knows that God is different and is a reality that's above anything that he can perceive. But the fact is that God is omniscient, so therefore he has to relate to him the way he would. The reaction, the emotional response should be the same, equal to an emotional response that he would feel with regard to his reality. That's the way it has to be. It's the only way that a human being can function. And if he functions that way, then he can perfect himself. Don's pointing out, that's right, if you get back to the memory, that's right. Where Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that's really, what he's saying is actually that has to be the chat in the memory. Because it says, Da mala mala mala, stop. He says, Istakil b'shlosha dvar v'anta bol dever. Da mala 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 is one. All inclusive, one thing, all inclusive, right? And then he has the breakdown of the three. Why? The answer is like this. The answer is because that's the way it is. Da mala 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 means that you should know philosophically, you should understand philosophically mala mala mala. That God is incomparable to anything that we can conceive of. And his essence is such that we can't even begin to imagine. It's far away from our any way to perceive, whether through our imaginations or intellect, anything. There's no way that we can perceive God. Like the Rambam says, there is only negative knowledge with relationship to God. So, therefore, that's Dam Alam Alam Ha. Then, Ayin Roa V'ozen Shemas V'chom Asecha B'Sefin Echtovim. Then you could have the ayin roh and the ozen shemas v'chom asecha b'sefin echtovim. If you know that God is totally different, but we have to relate to the reality in our own framework, you see, then you could do it. But if we just said the last part of the memra, that would have been dangerous. Because then, right, then you would lead to anthropomorphic results. Yes. In other words, only insofar as your emotional reaction is concerned, but not the cause of the reaction. In other words, you have to recognize like this, the cause is something which is totally different. But my reaction must be just as real as if I would see actually something. Actually, in truth, it's more real, the cause. But I might not be able to perceive that which is more real, the fact that it's more real. But my reaction has to be proportionate to what I would recognize as real. No, what it means is simply that if a person is going to do an avera, so he should think to himself, if I would know that this avera is going to be inscribed permanently, it would be permanently inscribed in a book where people will be able to view it, would I do that? No. Well, certainly God is omniscient and the same phenomenon exists, even though it's in totally different terms, but the phenomenon exists in reality. So therefore, I should relate to it in the same way. That's what it means. There's a chazal, Gemara Brachas, that said that Halavai Yemora Shemayim should be like Yemora Bras Vadam. See? What does it mean? It means to say that if a person will be on that level, at least, where he would recognize the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at least as real as the physical reality that he recognizes, that would be already a level. That would be a tremendous level already. I would say that the answer to your question is whether a person could reach level is that a person really lives in different spheres at the same time. With regard to certain things, he could be an Oved Me'ava. With regard to other things, he has to use the metaphor. See? Really, that's right. Yeah, to some extent, he has to operate. Right. Some extent. Actually, That, but actually, yeah, that's not the fullest book. But actually, you see, the pasuk also does it. V'chor afar Hashem b'chem v'atzar as Hashemayim lo yemotar v'chor apiyei b'chem v'arakdishchem b'chor. All these pesukim. What are pesukim trying to show? The pesukim are trying to show that a person should relate to it in that framework. He has to have the framework. What framework is he going to use? So he has to say to himself, look, if a powerful man would get angry at me, would I be afraid? Well, God is certainly greater than that. So therefore, my emotional response should be at least equivalent to that. See, but you see the Tukum use these terms. Now, let's see, what are all three together? There's three parts to his memory. The first part is Kol Shita Feres Lo Sev is Feres Lo Menada. According to the Rambam, what does that mean? That means psychological perfection. Right? Ezu Derech Yeshua Shiva, according to the Rambam, means psychological perfection. And then the next thing is Avizor Mitzvah Kala Kevachamura. What does it mean? Mitzvah Kala Kevachamura. That means Avas Hashem. That's philosophical perfection. And then the last part of the memory is how the person deals with both with the conflict that arises from both stages. You have the psychological, and then he has the philosophical. But there's a conflict between the two. Because we're really moved by psychological situations, and yet philosophically we know something which is real and true, but psychologically we can't relate, we can't feel the effects of it because it's beyond our perception. It's not in our framework. So how do you relate to it? So that's what the third part of the memory is. Ayin rov ozen shemaz dam alam aruncha. Okay, that's the whole memory. Yeah, right. It's a good question. If you have both sides perfected, there wouldn't be any problem. But the only thing is that in the practical, it's impossible. See, the practical, you can't. The practical, you can only achieve a certain amount of perfection in each area, and you operate in both areas simultaneously. Person is never leaves he never reaches a state where he's 100% psychologically sound or 100% philosophically. That's only a myth. But he partakes of philosophical and psychological perfection to a certain degree. And since he's always partaking of it, so he's always in the world of he's always in the world where he has difficulties, and he has to resolve them. How do you resolve them? The last part of the member. That's the third part of the member. Rav Gamliel ben Osher, Rav Yudan Asyam, Yofa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Interesting chazal. She yigiyas shineyem mishkachas avon, v'chol Torah she'eni mo malocha sofa b'teilo v'goreres avon. That's the first part of the member. Okay? Now, let's take Rashi. It says, Yofa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Right? She yigiyas shineyem mishkachas avon. That the involvement in both removes chet. It's an interesting memory. I mean, involvement in both removes chet? Well, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, yeah, you have to have both. You have to have Talmud Torah, because that's the essence of a person's life. And he has to have malacha, because he has to support himself. You see? Okay. Let's take a look a little bit further before we understand what it means. She yigiyas shineyem mishkachas avon. Alright? So, Rabbeinu Yosef, Shal Yedei, Shu Yegea, Betorah, Vemlocha, Lo Yishlot, Lov Yetzer Ara, Ki Bechol Eish, Asher Lo Yiyah, Doshin, Veshomein, Lo Yerav, Lo Lassos, Averos. Lachain Yasol, Betorah, Shima Teshes Kochos, Lodom, Vegam Bemlachta, Lechdecha Yosef, Velo Yamod, Botel, Leolam, Ten Yisaneg, Bo, Varom Lavovo Vishocha Chesed Hashem Alakov Kinyan Shinema Vayishman Yeshurim Vayivat. Alright, so what does he say? What he means, but he says both of them do it. You see, she yigiyas shineyem mishkachas avon. That's the key. What does it mean, she yigiyas shineyem mishkachas avon? It means that there is some combination here of between work and between Talmud Torah that prevents a person from chet. In other words, if a person would work alone, he'd never do it. If he learns alone, wouldn't do it. You have to have both. What's the shot? See what I mean? He says, he gives you the key of it. He says, Penyas anebo v'rom levovo v'shocha chesed Hashem alakor. Kinyan shenema v'yishman yeshurim v'yivat.
Yeah, that's the other
way. I think what he means is like this. See? He's speaking about, you see, what he's saying is that what causes avon, what causes chet, he says, is Yisaneg Bov Aram Levavo Vishachach Hashem Lekav Vayishman Yeshirim Vayivat. Alright? So now what is Aram Levavo mean? What does Aram Levavo mean? Aram Levavo means a person has a certain haughtiness. See? Now really, there are two types of haughtiness that a person has. A person's haughtiness, which is his self-over-evaluation, could either be expressed in materialism, or else it could be expressed in spiritualism.